Blog Talk Radio.
Tired of the waves that come and knock you off your feet, I'd long to see you on a day when you won't drown. The constant dragging and deceit, your hands been tied and there to greet a life that's bounded to a world that keeps on taking liberty. Maybe you're tired of the strains, the lonely highs, the constant rains that seep right through you on the days you're coming down. Maybe relying on horizons where the skies get filled with diamonds ain't surprising that the love that you have lost is in your mind.
Where we go, we'll take the high.
You're tired of the waves that come and knock you off your feet, I'd long to see you on a day when you won't drown. Maybe the answer lies beneath these scattered words they put our streets, and now the lights without the power flicker on into the night.
Where we go, we'll take the high.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to It's in the Voices. I'm your host, Crystal Hope, and that song was Rising by Train Room, if anyone's curious. I found it off of YouTube, free music. But anyway, tonight we are going to be doing a fall/autumn word bank. I asked all of my friends in the team of voices, allpoetry.com, to write a poem to the word bank, or if they had one, either one would do, as long as you got the words in there. But we're going to be reading some poetry on that. It's probably going to be another fall-fested type of poetry night, which I'm okay with. But let me go ahead and let Wayne in. If you'll let me hit the button, there it goes. Hi, Wayne.
How you doing, Crystal?
I'm all right.
I'm doing all right.
I just got over
a long day,
infection, but I'm good.
I am, I'm getting a little bit up and
a little
nasally, 7:30.
Boy. How are you, Wayne?
I'm doing pretty good. A little tired. I've been working since 7:30 this morning, so I'm a little bit dragging a little bit, but I'm going to make it. So I'll be all right.
I understand the dragon feeling. I've been up since 8 this morning, so I get the dragon feeling.
Long days. About 12 hours. It gets kind of old.
I wish it'd get cold here. It ain't getting cold. It's too hot.
Oh, yeah, it's hot here, too. It's been 80-something degrees the last 7 days here. And she should be around the lower 70s. Could have been 80s for the seven straight days.
It's
supposed to change Sunday. Sunday's
days
cold
where
Sunday.
Sometimes it's in the 70s, and then the next day it'll be like 91 degrees. It makes no sense.
Nope. I like the warm weather, but I'm ready for a little bit of fall weather anyway before winter gets here. I don't want to be just go right to freezing cold.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I like the in-between, whenever you have like winter and spring, you have like that nice weather right there. And then
right. And
when it gets to be fall, it's like you have that in-between between fall and winter where it's like it's a good in-between kind of weather. It lasts a very short time.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that every year. It's a very short time that you get that nice in-between weather.
We can sit back and daydream under a shade tree or something, not sweat, not freeze.
Yeah, exactly. Because I keep doing all these fall shows thinking that I'll eventually start feeling like fall, and it hasn't. Like, the leaves have fallen a little, but they haven't really changed color.
We're going to drop down cold come Sunday. It's gonna be, the high is going to be 68, I think, Sunday. It's been 80-something every day, so it'll be 68 Sundays. It'll be a nice day to chill out, I reckon.
I'd like to see some 60s.
Yeah.
I really would.
Yeah,
or, like, even just getting into this a little lower 70s, please. Like,
I'm
nights, I'll say that much, but during the day, it's hot.
Yeah, I like 50s to 70s. It's my temperature.
Yeah. It's typically nice weather when it's, like, around that later 60s, early 70s. At least I don't want it to stay that way because I do like the colder weather, but I do want a couple of weeks of that. I hate when it just goes from 90 degrees to 60 degrees.
Right.
I've seen a post or something on Facebook where it says that it's like the weather will go down like you're being like cops behind you or something. Like you'll sit there and go, oh, you need to go speed limit. Like you'll go from 90 to 60. Even though I don't really think that many people drive 90 miles.
I'm ready for Thanksgiving to get here and be about 50 degrees on Thanksgiving and then drop down to a little cold after that. But I like to be 50 degrees around Thanksgiving so we can still walk around and be comfortable.
50. I hope for 50.
It'll be.
Weather.
Yeah,
there's some Thanksgivings it's either like really rainy and like fair weather outside, or
if the
sun is shining, it'll be hot, like 80 degrees on Thanksgiving.
Yep. I've seen it snow on Thanksgiving. So I've seen it hot and I've seen it snowing, so I like it a little cool weather better. Football weather.
It is football weather, sure. Well, let me go ahead and let Deb in. Just keep chatting away.
Alrighty.
Hi, Deb.
Hello, you two.
Hey, Deb. Hey, Deb.
Good to hear you both.
Just two
nice to be
southern
here.
People talking about crazy southern weather.
And hot this year, I know.
It is, I like it.
I was going to say, we've been hanging on.
I bet it's pretty in Jersey. I bet it's so pretty there right now. Am I right or wrong, Deb?
Where are we? Up here?
Yeah.
Up here, we've had a couple okay days, but it's still, like, hot for October. And we're supposed to have a couple more 80-somethings this week. But at least it's not with humidity but a little bit of rain, some fog. We get a lot of fog this time of year.
That's
creepy
too,
to watch. It's creepy to watch it slink in at night, because at first you only see it by any type of lighting. And then when you realize that it's suddenly to the point where you can barely see the lighting anymore, you're like, damn, it's like a monster movie set.
I was going to say, that sounds like a really good poem. Like talking
about
the stages of fog.
Yeah, well, the stages. But I have incorporated into some of the poems because, like, sometimes the backyard's pretty creepy, all trees and water, and you hear the law of nature out there when a critter's screaming its last screams, and it's like it can be really creepy. And then put the moon in some fog, and there's your setting.
Yes, it is.
It sounds like there's a good Halloween scene just like right there. The fog, the night sky, little tiny bit of moon you can't see. That sounds like it.
Yeah.
Tonight it's for a movie kind of.
Yeah. And tonight it's got like a tangerine, light tangerine hue, like a harvest moon, but it's not much bigger than a crescent. So it's kind of cool.
Those are the types of moons I love to, like, take pictures of and things. Like, anytime I hear there's, like, a full moon or, like, we're going to be changing colors or anything like that, I immediately go check it out if I can. Even when I used to work night, I would, like, stick my head out the window and be like, is the moon changing yet? It was awful. I probably needed to be doing my job washing dishes, but I didn't want to. I just wanted to look out the window and see if the moon changed or if the sky changed, whatever was happening. Like,
yeah, my neighbors think I'm crazy.
Always interesting.
My neighbors think I'm crazy. I text my neighbors and say, hey, go look at the moon. It looks great tonight. They go, what? I say, go outside and look at the moon. They think I'm crazy because I said, go look at the moon. So,
always take time to look at the moon, Wayne. Don't let
Yes, always look at the moon. Yeah, I always just watch the moon. I like to see the clouds up there and the moon behind the clouds. It's, I like to see things, I guess. I got pictures of that, so I like to keep up with the moon. It was nice last night. All the stars were out, all the planets were out last night. There was three planets you could see real clear last night. So it was a nice night last night, nice and clear here.
No, I don't understand why where I live it's constantly a bunch of like cloudy skies. You hardly ever see the stars. That's another thing. It's like you have like the moon and the stars. It's a really pretty night, but a lot of the time it's cloudy skies at night, and you don't see the stars, and it's so sad. But I don't know how I've become having to become a morning person when I really do love the night more. I love looking at the stars and the moon.
That happens sometimes. Isn't it annoying?
That happens sometimes. I think that happens a lot. Because that was the thing when I used to work nights, even though I was working and I didn't really get to enjoy the night, I was like more awake to somewhat enjoy the night. And now it's like I've worked throughout the day. I come home. I just kind of just want to lay in bed. Don't do anything, and then instead of like looking at how pretty the night sky is anymore. But I know once fall really starts to kick into gear, I may probably go outside and look at the moon more, the sky or something. Maybe it will also help me with my poetry writing as well, something. But
feeling a little stagnant, Crystal?
A little stagnant with writing?
No, is your muse feeling a little stagnant?
No, not really. I was looking at the board. I guess we need to go ahead and start. Now I got a whole bunch of SoundClouds and stuff. I saw that.
Yeah, I made one today.
I saw that, Wayne. I was wondering if you were going to call because I kept seeing all these sound clouds, and I'm used to people giving me a sound cloud, meaning that they're not going to call. But I know Frank does that to me, too, where he gives me a sound cloud, and I'm thinking he's not going to call, and then he calls, and I'm like, oh, well, only time I've ever done
like
that
to, I like to hear my sound cloud
when I
ain't on air.
I like
to hear them on the air myself, so to see how they sound. Mine's kind of silly most of the time, but they're fun to do.
That's what I was just going
to
say. I think people are enjoying hearing themselves, and if they make the recording, they can listen to themselves. And it seems like more and more of them are making them and still showing up as well, which is awesome. But
yeah,
it's cool to get to hear yourself, isn't it, Wayne?
Yes, it is. I enjoy it. Yeah, I'm not a very good voice. I'm not very good at the music, but I enjoy it anyway. It's kind of something to do, something kind of fun. So I can enjoy it. I've got 75. I got 75 SoundClouds now, so I got the 75. So I got a few SoundClouds.
You have a couple.
You have a couple.
That's a couple.
Yep. I need to put an album out.
What would you name the album?
You know that, Wayne, I think I may go ahead and
I don't know.
Go ahead and put yours on the board, and then we can listen to your wonderful SoundCloud that you don't have that many.
It's not like, but it's kind of autumn-like, but it's not that autumn-like either. So it's different. I wanted to use all your words, so I had to make it kind of weird.
Whoa, you said you used all of them? Okay. I just used at least 10.
I got a bad habit of that.
I've seen it before because I've heard Deb before on her show sitting there saying, because if I don't always get a chance to be in a show, I make sure that I do listen to them. And I've heard that with yours before. She'll bring it up like when she has a word bank. She's like, he used all the words.
He's 84
days. It's not a bad habit.
Right. But what was the one time I think I had 224 words, and I don't remember how many he used that time, but he used a boatload.
Yeah.
Remember that one, Wayne? It was like 224 crayons.
Yeah, I remember. I used a lot of them. And the ones I use most of your words, then I get a higher ranking. The more words I use, I get the higher rankings.
I want to say you used like 80 some.
I used 84 the last one I did.
There you go.
84 words, and that's pretty well. Came up, it was my second highest ranked form ever too. That's kind of shocked me. So it's kind of different.
I love that.
What I always think is funny when Deb does her word bank is I will just be writing, not paying attention to the word bank, and then suddenly I'll look at the page of the word bank, and even some words that I didn't know were in the word bank, I found out were in my poem. Like, I'll do that all the time, where I'll be like, wait, I have that word. Okay, then that counts. And, like, I'm not doing it on purpose. Because there's sometimes I'll go and look at the word bank and be like, okay, put that word in here. But a lot of the times it's like I've already put that word in my poem without even realizing it.
Right.
Right. Well, see, that's because I've spent the last year brainwashing color into all the brains of the people I love around me. So now, now that they're all...
Well, you didn't brainwash that into me. I already had that. maybe some other people.
Yeah, that is true. The colors and butterflies are yours too. But I always attribute Crystal and Hope to you and your poems and how you manage to get them in there as often as possible, if not always. And I think that's awesome. A lot of us comment on that. And then next we'll spend some time getting some shapes and textures and stuff. I keep saying that, but I'm so many shows ahead because, I mean, I think I have three or maybe I have all four for January already in my draft too. I don't know.
Wow.
But
wow.
Yeah.
January.
So I'm looking forward to changing it up with some shapes and texture.
Well, let me go ahead. So just keep talking. Get on with the poetry. All right, Wayne, I'm about to play you SoundCloud. Everybody got
all right, hope you all like it.
All right.
Timmy Todd, I Walk Alone. Cloudy day became nighttime dark, then thunderstorm came. Wandered down around the river, each day seems the same. The torch of crispy bark, leaf and branch, no match for the rain. Muddy boots and gold woven quilt damp, I will not complain. Watch the crimson sky as the red sun sets behind the Carmel Hill. To eat an orange pumpkin out of patch, hope not considered a steal. My last apple, now rusted color from unintended bruise. Cinnamon and nutmeg for a needed meal, a wonderful spice to use. The coldness of the autumn night will weigh heavy now that I'm wet. It's been over a year since I've conversed with anyone I've met. I wish I had a place to go or a place to die with marble headstone, but still I trek across the land with sadness from being all alone. In.
Wow. I'm not expecting sadness from Wade. Like, I looked at the title and said, I Walk Alone, but I was just thinking something was going to come, like, oh, something more chipper. No, it just kept. But at the same time, though, I like that you like, kind of, it's beautiful. That's the thing I was going to say. Like, I hate that it sits there and it's sad from it walking alone and, you know, the sadness that you walk with. But then you got these, like, beautiful things in there, too, where, like, behind the caramel peel. And I like that. Or, like, but even the part of the, like, the last apple of the rusted color and stuff. And with the cinnamon, nothing. Like, it seems like you're just living your life during, like, a fall season or something like that. And it's like where you're kind of seeing the beauty in fall, but at the same time, you're not. It's like you have this other feeling deep inside or something like that, where you're looking at all the thunderstorms and everything else instead of, like, embracing the beauty that fall can bring as well. I don't know. That was just a little thing that came to my head. But, yeah, I really like this, Wayne. Like, even though I'm not used to the whole sadness thing, but I hate it when people do that to me, though, where they tell me, oh, why are you writing sadness when you normally write hope? And, like, you don't always have to write the same thing. So, I'm not going to keep saying, like, oh, why are we writing sadness? Like, you write what you want, Wayne. Yeah, I do like this, yeah. And I like the kind of a Melly Collins tone to it as well. So, great job.
He got caught out in the thunderstorm. The homeless guy out in the thunderstorm, and he got wet, and so he's, he's kind of roasted up his food, but he's still soaking wet and going to spend the night wet, and so it's not a good sign in the fall. So that's what I wrote about, kind of like he's got in a storm and got wet, and he's got to spend the night wet now. So it's kind of, that ain't no fun.
Deb, what do you think of Wayne's poem?
Well, I think it's awesome, and I think that the recording, you did a really great job of carrying your emotion in your voice as you read your poem and pulling us in further to find out what was in the tone, as you know what I mean? Like, we needed to stick around and discover what it is that was in your voice. And then with using descriptors like the unintended bruise from that rusted color, nutmeg for kneaded meal, a wonderful spice to use. So there was little comfort things in there with the touch of nutmeg and cinnamon, but the sadness didn't go away, and the thought of an undisclosed ache was in your voice as well. The coldness of the autumn night will weigh heavy now that I'm wet. And I, you know, I've been over a year since I have conversed with anyone I met, and it's just like, it gets sadder as you go on. excuse me. Wish I had a place to go or a place to die with a marble headstone, but still I trek across the land with sadness from being alone. And by the time you got there, it was just like the sad, lonely, depressed shadow was nearly palpable. Excellent. I too kept thinking, you know, I wonder if we're going to change up, because, you know, you do have a habit of taking us in one direction and then twisting it into a totally other
right.
one. But like I said, by the time you said the last word, there was this lump for us to swallow.
yeah.
That was a powerful write. That's a powerful pen. Great job, Wayne.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Awesome comment, Deb. And thank you, Wayne, for that.
You're welcome.
It's sad how, like, Deb and I were literally like, oh, is he going to turn it around? No. But like I said, it's good to step into the difference. And
yeah,
I really like the way that you did end that poem. Like, because there's sometimes where I've written a poem and I've thought about turning it back around, back to hope, like I normally do. But sometimes I sometimes just like end a certain thing, and I'm kind of just like that ending. Even if the ending is sad, I'm just like, okay, it's sad. Like,
yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah. Once I was writing the poem, he got wet, and he wasn't gonna complain about being wet, but then he had to steal a pumpkin to eat his supper. And he had a bruised up apple to eat in his pumpkin. I said, well, I might as well just end it out and make it show how fat he is, because he's wet and he's done. He's eating and he's wet and he's stealing his food and he's sat in the cold all night tonight. So it was kind of sad, but it's fun, right?
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I could feel myself being out there. I said, whoop.
And Crystal, the same thing happens to us when you fall asleep and we read for you. If it's the ones where you don't come full circle and bring it back to the hope, and we're like, whoa, and then we start worrying, is there a problem? Did she break up with her boyfriend? Did this?
I just listened to last Monday's show a few minutes ago, because like I just had like a really hectic week where. Because the thing is that at the daycare that I worked at, we got all of our school kids, because they were on fall break. So I had 12 kids in my room today that I had to watch, and it's hectic. I've been coming home, and I just now listened to that podcast earlier, and I heard y'all say that, like, and I've heard you say it more than once when I listen to the shows. I'm like, I hope she's okay. Like, I hope she didn't have this happen or this, and I'm like, I swear none of that is the, I mean, occasionally I will write some emotions out, like if I've just been like stressed from work or something's going on like in my life, but it isn't like the worst thing in the world. It's like sometimes, you know, you just write and you get some of those like somewhat stressful emotions that you have, but they're not like too bad or anything. Like some of those sometimes come out, but most of the time I just write and it's just whatever came out. It doesn't necessarily have to do with what's going on in my life.
Well,
but,
you know,
yeah.
I'm glad you said that, Crystal, because the thing is we do it like, you know, we just did it with Wayne and you've heard us do it with you. But I can hear myself, like I'm making myself feel like a hypocrite, because I can hear myself saying, does nobody in the room grasp the sense that there was a prompt and I'm just trying to write to that prompt to the best of my ability, and it might just be complete fiction. So
yeah.
I feel, again, like a hypocrite for assuming that you're going to bring it all back to hope, because sometimes it's fun not to. Sometimes it's fun to either just let it bleed or let it weep or just flat out splatter blood all over the damn place and have a fun time with it. And it doesn't mean that you just killed somebody and finished cleaning up the mess. You just felt like impressing Sweet Pea or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Dib, when you're writing, when you start writing a poem, Dib, do you know what the ending is when you start writing a poem? Do you know what the ending is when you start a poem?
You know, Wayne, sometimes I'll get this idea in my head and I'll write it down and then I'll think, wait, and then I backtrack. I don't know if I've ever come up with the exact ending first and then backtracked,
right.
But I've absolutely came up with pieces that I realized at the time, well, you can't just start there. It's kind of too off the wall.
Yep,
right.
I've done the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, more of that than a conclusion than going back.
Yeah, I usually start a poem out, and I have no idea where I'm ended it. I just leave the poem out
until
I get somewhere.
I think that's the beauty of the word banks as well, because in your effort to try and fit the words in, it seems to lead you in a direction. And you, before you really, you know, you
right.
just get this, each word will send a different signal to your brain and take you on its own journey. And then you start scribbling what those little journeys are and you wind up with a poem. So that's one of the advantages of word banks, in my opinion.
Well, most of
it's also a way to stir your
muse.
If you can't get anything
yeah.
going, then ask somebody
it
to
does.
Toss you a word bank. It'll kickstart you again. And hey, I have 5 drafts full of, quote, great words. So anybody who ever wants a word bank just because they're in the mood, just ask. I'd be happy to make one.
Wow.
Saying, Dave Pratt does it all the time.
I have to step away for about 5 or 10 minutes. There's somebody downstairs. I'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. Next poem I have on the board is Kay's, and I also got a audio recording for her. If everybody got that one, and I will hit play.
In the Slumber of Awakenings by Kay. Skies, turquoise wheat fields upon golden airs, cherry reds and pristine edges, scrub the slate of city and oceans. Lights for miles no longer in existence, upon floral midsummer's folds, bitten adieu in rusted clouds, quilts, stitches a sprout, rainy day funds of spirit, as a route to wander, torches of feet to bark goals of branches, marble and semesters, boundaries, roadways of crispy turbulence, of hands dirty, slain tile and capable oranges of crimson nutmegs, the fabrics of sensory. Caramel apples spice the horizons targeted. In a distance, thunderstorms can be heard, woven in paces of slights lost. Silence. Inclines a paper, walk the hills. Steep in waters of dried rivers is a cottage. Daylight ribbons, tapestries of flowers. Flocks of leaves disregard the curtain of light poking through. His boots muddy from the farmhouse ways. Hearth of a new season cinnamons the ideals of pumpkin seeds to be. Sliver of colors, tea light, remembrance, and poem.
Wow. Yeah, that was like an explosion of autumn right there, especially in like certain parts of it. But yeah, I really love just kind of how she ends it, though, with the flock of leaves disregard the curtains of light peeking through his boots muddy from the farmhouse leaves. In a hearth of a new season, cinnamons, the ideals of pumpkin seeds to be. I like that. Cinnamon. You don't cinnamon either like an adjective or a noun. You don't really hear it as a verb. But I like that it cinnamons the ideals of pumpkin seeds to be. Kind of like you're in that certain kind of transition or something like that. And that kind of gives me a mindset of that, like that it's like different types of change or something like that. The other one I loved too was In the Distance, Thunderstorms We've Heard, woven in the paces of slight lost silence, inclined the papers to walk the hills. I like that though, In the Distance, that thunderstorms can be heard. And you can, and as soon as I heard that line, I literally had like just thunder and lightning, like, and like I could see it, I could hear it so perfectly. But yeah, I like how she did this. It just seemed like it was like an explosion of autumn, but at the same time had all these of metaphors, such like deeper meaning, which that's typically what Kay writes too. She always does that. Deeper meaning behind every poem that she writes, and I always enjoy reading her stuff every time. But yeah, so thank you, Kay, for bringing this. It's absolutely beautiful, as much of your stuff is. And I'll start with Deb on this.
Yeah, you know, for one thing, I say it a lot, but Kay has this way of twisting metaphors like no one else. And sometimes I sit there in awe of some of the stuff she comes up with. Like, for example, I keep going back to caramel apple spice, the horizons targeted. For some reason, I absolutely love that line. Between the visual, it was like a sensory overload, because I could picture the colors, but I could also picture the taste, and I could smell the spice, and it was just like, and that's all in one sentence. So if you put that into perspective, looking at that whole poem, you read it a few times, and she could drive you insane with the images, make you so hungry that you got to go in the kitchen and find something to eat, because like what was that? She had cherry reds and the quilt stitches, the sprouts and rainy day funds of spirit. That was pretty cool. But where was that orange of crimson nutmegs, the fabric of sensory? And that's what I was saying. There's so many that, you know, your head's spinning from all the imagery and tickles of the senses as you went through. And I really liked the title, too, In the Slumber of Awakenings. So it's... It's a really awesome visual poem, and I like the closing as well. Silver of colors, tea light, remembrance. So, again, I say she's a master at twisting metaphors.
Comment, Deb. And Wayne, you want to make a comment?
He had to go let somebody in, I think he said.
So that, oh, he's here, I didn't know if he was back yet. I didn't know if he was back or not yet. Okay. I heard him say that, but I thought he said 5 minutes, and I was like, it's been more than 5 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But thank you, Kay, for bringing that. And we're going to go next while we're waiting on Wayne. I guess, Deb, I'll go ahead and put yours up, and you can read it, and hopefully Wayne gets back in order to hear it. All right. Oh, wait, nope. Oh, let me grab the phone. If I don't, I may, you know, get in trouble. I mean, I could be in trouble in the United States, but I don't want to be in Australia, so... Hi, AP.
You can't get here, Crystal. We'd love you here, but you can't get here. It's all closed up. You can't get in trouble, therefore, you know. We'd love you here, but you can't get in trouble here because you can't get here.
You sound like you're in this mood.
No, it's all good. How are you going, Crystal?
It's going okay. Life is just being life.
Yeah, I can say that too.
Yeah.
Yep. Good summary. Good summary.
You need to go before I
always my answer, too.
No, I can hang around for a little while, Christian. So, if you'd like me to.
Yeah, I was about to ask, are you in a hurry, AP, or can you stick around? Or?
No, I can stick around. Yep.
Okay. All right. if that's the case, I just put Debs on the board. If Debs ready to read.
Sure am, and I hope everybody likes the artists because I think they're pretty awesome and I may use them in the future. But the poem, and Crystal, I couldn't fit in a couple of them, so I used 21 of the words from your word bank, and incidentally, I was very excited because it rated as my highest poem ever. Go figure. It's called At the 4-H Club Festival. At harvest time. And here we go. Cloudy waters splash the banks of the river as thunderstorm chases the sunshine. Then air cools and every tree leaf transforms standing jeweled pigments onto the tree line, staining topaz and crimson kisses color on the leaves. Orange and gold cover the yellows and greens. Farmers pluck the red apples off every branch and harvest carrots, parsnips, and bush beans. Bakers spice the air with nutmeg and cinnamon, spreading apple and cherry pie aroma around. Children go on hay rides and pumpkin picking to carve jack-o'-lanterns for the festival in town, the short pants and tank tops pulling out warm jackets with long sleeves. Dressing with socks and boots but not sandals, Dad steps outside to grab a rake for the leaves. Tonight we'll bob up for apples and play ring toss, tin can alley, balloon darts, and sack races, too. We'll eat broccoli and cauliflower with a ranch dip, then munch down a crispy caramel apple, or two. At the booth, we'll eat funnel cake and ice cream, overstuffing ourselves from every food I see. Grandma wins the beige quilt at the church raffle, handmade by the ladies that meet in Clover Valley. Torchlights flick on bordering the festival grounds. Sleepy kids yawn and the parking lot slowly clear. On the drive home, we pass the wildflower meadow. Just then it fills up with a herd of white-tailed deer. Tuck the kids in bed once they brush their teeth and dress in a house coat and top off the night with a beer.
Wow. I also, like, it seemed like you really did get inspired by this because, I kept expecting it to end, and it didn't because I'm not really used to writing brevities, but I was used to it, like, kind of being, a tad bit shorter. But, I mean, you were writing the whole story, and I was just intrigued with every line. Like, I wanted it to keep going. I kept thinking, oh, no, don't stop, and it never did. So you got it there, definitely. But, yeah, I loved the visuals. And so, the whole time I had my, every stanza, I was picturing it, every single one. Like, you bringing up about, going, eating the funnel cakes and the ice cream and seeing Grandma win in the church raffle or something, or the moms and dads and stuff about raking the leaves and making sure Mom got all your fall and winter clothes out. But it was like a transition from warm to colder or things like that. And then the smells and the colors and stuff about gosh, the food. I feel like if Stephen would hear this poem, he would be talking about the food. But it seemed like that though. But yeah, the smells of the nutmeg and the sugar. And then you got then I could smell the cherry and the apples and the pumpkin and everything, and just it just had fall all splashed over there. But it just seemed like this beautiful fall town setting almost, what you have with your family and stuff. You just went out to the festival, and then when you come home, you put the kids to bed, and then you sit down and just relax on the couch. And then the brisk air is just outside with you on that a clear night sky. It is perfect. Just the visuals, everything. You're really good, Deb.
Thanks, Crystal. The thing is, by the time I got to the funnel cake, I realized that I was at the 4-H fair and never really mentioned any of the animals, and then realized how many stanzas I wrote and figured, maybe next time the animals, you know. But no, I'm glad you enjoyed it. It brought back a lot of memories when I wrote it.
Oh. I know what you mean, too, because I was thinking of all the, like, little festivals and stuff I went to. The only thing I think that you missed when it came to fall festivals was one of my favorite things to do, hay rides. I love those.
No, it's there. Because
there's something about just sitting in, like, on hay ride and stuff like that, and then just, like, you're barely going, but then it's so windy and chilly outside, and then the breeze just blows against your face, and you're barely going anywhere, but you're just enjoying the company, the night sky, everything. That was another thing that
get
was cool. Get
poked in the hay. The hay rides in Stanza 3. I think I only got the animals, but who knew?
Oh, yeah. Children go on hay rides and pump. That's right. That's right. Okay, I got so absorbed in everything. That's where I was going.
How can you talk about
Because I remember reading that, and then I was thinking about the hay ride. Yeah.
Okay. I forgot the apple cider. That's tragic.
Good. All right, well, let me get you some comments. AP, what did you think of Deb's poem?
It's a lovely sort of warming poem, really, in the sense that it clearly follows a track of memory back. Clearly, you can see by the descriptions how, you know, meaningful and how it sort of caught this really nice place in her on this day, and that she found herself back there writing, and we sort of went along for the journey. And it's just a lovely and vivid memory that it comes out beautifully.
Thank you, AP. Awesome comment.
Awesome comment, AP. And Wayne, are you back yet or no? I'm going to take that as a no. Okay.
That's
I bet
note.
They kidnapped them. Just saying.
Probably.
I hope not. I hope no one kidnapped him. That'd be an interesting podcast, though.
Only if we get some juicy details.
I mean, it wouldn't be a good one, but, like, finding that out. But it'd sure be interesting.
Could be.
Thank you, Deb, for writing that. Where am I going to go next? Okay. AP, did you have a poem or anything?
I do, yes. And
would you like to drop it on the board?
Yes, I have dropped it in. Yes.
Okay.
So this is, I call it a brevity if it's under 100 words, Crystal. So I think it's still a brevity at 97 words. But it includes all 25 of your word bank, I think. Storm in autumn. And it goes a little bit like this. My brink and crimson red house breathed hags as Tussle's trees. By degrees. Taste of apple, cinnamon and spice sloughed off from cloudy skies. Torch woven in darkness wanders to trice. Marble light flickers by echo flies. Explodes a river of rains over space as if giant boots lashing a quilt. Iron and apple of lightning barely trace, rusted free as if crispy caramel spilt. Eve arrives to display of small rivers, branches still dropping bark. Cherry and pumpkin colours keep shivers, painted fresh scene of graffiti stark. End poem.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's especially the end of the scene of graffiti start, kind of like there's all these like little streams of color in the sky with the cherry and the pumpkin. So you got like just a little bit of orange and a little bit of red, and then like mixing it in with like some brown or some gold or something like that, kind of giving it like a, I guess you would say like the caramel kind of coloring or something, or just splashes of color in some way or another. But yeah, I really just like the imagery of this. And I like that you brought up about the and crimson red house, like, because I'm just imagining this red brick house somewhere out with the trees and everything, and then you've got this, these shades, different shades of fall colors or something like that on the trees, and then somehow you also can smell the apple cinnamon and the spice and everything, and I don't know, it's like a kind of like a cozy poem almost in a way too, that makes any sense, but like it doesn't seem like it is, because it would seem like it's more, we got that stormy weather, but at the same time it seems like also a kind of poem that I would just go in that red brick house with a blanket or something, sit on the couch and read a book while it's raining outside or something. That's what it sounds like to me. I do like this open.
Thank you.
And Deb, you want to comment?
Absolutely, yeah. A storm in autumn. It's perfect caption for the art. I find myself really intrigued by the painting. But aside from that, sorry. Right from the get-go, my brick and red house breeze tags as tussles trees, orange and gold leaves departing spouts as thunderstorm rumbles by degrees. So you get the visual of walking away and like the blur is like you barely remember, but not the visual of it. Like it's not the visual, it's the feeling in that storm as you departed. And then I get a feel like the colors of that season bring back the memories, and there's sadness in the memories. And then stuff like boots lashing a quilt. I don't know why boot lashing gives me the thought of like trekking through the splashing puddles and I'm not even sure where you were headed. And lightning. So I guess all these visuals bring us into the colors of the photo, but more into the feeling. Because, like, you have the color shivering, but I have a feeling it was more like you shivering. So there's a lot of stuff that this one's sending me in so many directions that it's pretty potent. So I think I'm going to have to decipher this one a little more. But it's got, to me, as many jumbled emotions in it as the colors in that piece of art. If that's not weird sounding, but
no, it's not weird sounding. I sort of was trying to grab that sort of tumble of light and flash and color and sound of a storm in the same way that a Turner, who's an English painter, and this is a painting of his from the early 1800s, it sort of tumbles up light and mixes light and movement and that was why I chose the Turner painting, because he's brilliant at it.
Yeah, well, the paint, like I said, the painting pulled me in right away. It's an amazing painting. But so is the tapestry of emotions that you put in with the colors. So it's an awesome job.
Thank you. Thanks, Deb.
Awesome comment, Deb. And just to make sure, because I don't know when Wings come back, I'm going to ask him every time, Wayne, are you there? Even though I still think he's just on hold or whatever, to go into the door.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One more clip then. Thank you, AP, for bringing that. I really liked it a lot. I don't know how much longer you're going to stay.
For a while. Yeah, for a while. It's all good.
Okay. I'm just checking. Apparently,
diabolical
beard is looking for Wayne, because I don't know if he can hear him through words, but apparently he's yelling for him. But yeah,
there you go.
Shout out to Forgotten Age and Diabolical Beard on the board. I think they're also listening in too. All right. So my next one that I have on here is, since I saw her on the board, I'm going to go ahead and read hers for Forgotten Age, and I'll read for her, I guess. Okay. She's called To Autumn Days. The room is cold in the pre-dawn hours, lit but insistent light from my phone, informing me I must crawl out from the warm confines of my quilt. The cloudy night is breaking as caradels of light peek from behind the horizon, bursting through the seams of clouds, needles of gold to melt the morning frost, ignite the crimson and orange leaves of torches from trees, announcing the transition that autumn is upon us. Greens to be marbled with black bark and bare branches. Pumpkins are to speckle the walk away. Where boots kick a falling red leaf in a child's dance of passing play while they weave their way home. Greeted by the warm smell of spice of cider, perfectly seasoned, within cinnamon and nutmeg, and a treat of caramel apples. End poem. Well, Deb, your apple cider, or your cider was not forgotten. See, what happened was you forgot it, but then you see she right here, she went ahead and brought it for you. But yeah, I do like this a lot. It brings that like bit of fall to it, and I love the ending too about bringing in like the smell of spice and of the caramel apples and everything, and also bringing the color that you see the crimson and the orange leaves, then you know that fall is coming. I mean, I always get so excited when I see just one little leaf fall off the tree, and I know that it's starting to become fall, and you get excited. At least I do. But yeah, I really like what was written here and everything. I understand that also part about the warm confines of the quilt. Like, I sometimes don't want to get out of the bed in the morning because, like, especially on fall mornings, like, you just want to stay curled up in bed with your blanket or something with your phone and just, like, I don't want to go to work. I just want to sit there and be cozy. But I did enjoy this a lot, and thank you for bringing it. Let me get some comments. AP, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I really liked where it went to. I liked the last couple of stanzas where boots kick a fallen red leaf in a child's dance of passing play. It's sort of like something that happened along the way, which is kind of, I like that. And the greeted by this warm smell of spice from cider. They're both lovely sort of fleeting images that you sort of happen upon, which is a nice way of writing. I enjoyed the poem.
Awesome comment. And Deb, your comment?
Well, for starters, I want to say that I'm thrilled that Forgotten Mage is here. As far as I am aware, this is her first poem being shared on the shows with us, and I know that because I got her email today, and thank you for that, Forgotten Mage. And now that I'm hearing your poem, I'm very glad you stumbled across us, and even more so that you are participating, and keep them coming. I really like this one. I think that the second and third stanzas, that the cloudy night is breaking as tendrils of light peek from behind the horizon, bursting through the seams of clouds, needles of gold to melt the morning frost. I love those visuals. But in the next one, ignite the crimson and apple leaves as torches from the trees announcing the transition. The thought of that those trees, colors that burst, being those torches that announce the transition is pretty clever, I think. And then that autumn is upon us, green to be marbled with black bark and bare branches. I like the visuals. I like the, your use of the word bank. I keep getting pulled back, though, with the torches from the trees announcing the transition. Around here, we call that one of those brilliant lines that we wish we wrote. I wish I wrote as torches from trees announcing the transition. So your first poem's a big hit. And again, I say, please keep them coming. I'm glad you're here. And great work.
Great comment, Deb. And yes, thank you, Forgotten Lady. I was going to bring that up, too, and I just got so absorbed in the poem that I forgot. I was like, wait, the first poem that we've ever had in the show. Like, I need to say something, and I'm glad you did, because I didn't.
Well, that's why they call us a team of voices. So good, though.
I said, oh, and you guys have given me goosebumps. Aw. It is like that, too. I remember my first few poems that I had in the podcast and stuff, and when you first get those poems read and things, it is an exciting thing, and it's like people are talking about it and things. Like, I remember how excited that I was, like, that was quite a few years ago when I was getting mine in the podcast and things, and I would hear them and people talk about them, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they like them. But I also remember when I first came to All Poetry, I would just get the tiniest of comments. Like, somebody could just send me a message, I like your poem. And I was like, oh my gosh, they like my poem. Like, you would just get so emotional from it. But it is. It's nice to hear, especially with doing these podcasts, you get to hear someone's voice and how they actually feel about it. Because there's something about someone's voice that where you, like, can sense the tone or so, that you can tell, oh, this person really enjoyed my poem. I can hear it in their voice. And, yeah. Okay. I'll stop rambling now. I still don't think Wayne is back. So, poem I was going to throw up was Phil, which I have a recording for as well. I do like getting all these recordings because it's nice to hear their voices, especially Phil and his Russian accent. All right. Got it. Okay.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called A Midwinter's Day. Boots crunch through the crispy snow on this winter morning. The red glow, horizon kissed by the torch of a day dawning. Children making angels in the white marble playground. Picking up a rusted leaf in the middle of a snowy mound. A dark river flowed with otters on melted bark. The sun rays of gold lights up the cherry branch with a spark. In the distance, a thunderstorm starts to threaten the sky. The children run home with hearts of a wandering sigh. The smell of pumpkin pie is woven with warmth from the fire. They see their parents tipsy on cinnamon and nutmeg desire. The crimson glow of the evening sun descending on the land leaves the cottage full of laughter and caramel apples in hand. That evening, the cloudy mist arose from the chimney pot as mother leans over the stove of spice and orange compote, wrapping her frozen warriors in a sheepskin quilt. The wind howls as we sleep without a sign of guilt. End poem.
Thank you, I like this one too. It makes me think a little bit of yours, Deb. Like a bit of Tad, but maybe it was just kind of like the way that it was read, and it kind of gives that story again. But I do like that, like Midwinter's Day. So this isn't like I was sitting there thinking we were like transitioning into already winter, but it is kind of like that. But it's kind of like where there's like a bit of snow in winter, but at the same time you can still get that fall sense to it, especially like after a thunderstorm, and then all of a sudden you just get like this evening sun, and then get all these colors of crimson and orange, and then I know y'all really love that cinnamon and nutmeg. I've been watching those lines everywhere. It seems like wherever I turn around, there is just the smell of cinnamon and nutmeg somewhere. And this time, it's the parents are tipsy on it. So I like that he went different that way. Yeah, you even got the caramel apples in hand, like I'm smelling all those and things, like the scent of the spices and everything. But I like how he ends it too, that how they fall asleep, which is not even a sign of guilt. Like, you're just happy to be where you are. And I really enjoyed this. I think you did an awesome job, the imagery and everything. I'll start with AP.
Yeah, I like the little things that indicated, you know, the differences of the place. So I love the snow was there. I love the glow. I love the offers, actually, that were in the dark river. That really gives you a sense of place and purpose. And so just a really, really clever use of the word bank and a really, really subtle poem.
Awesome comment, AP. And Deb, your comment?
Well, for starters, I agree with you, Crystal. It's always awesome to listen to Phil read. His accent and pronunciation is awesome. Really, really love that he keeps making the audios. And I was going to comment about the otters, too, only because it led me into something else. But, you know, the thought of it, like, of all the things that could pop into my mind around me, you know, with the critters, otter isn't one of them. So that it does give you that area by location or whatever in mind. But what struck me in all the poems, oh, and incidentally, cinnamon and nutmeg is all your fault, my dear. You put them both in your word
bank. I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I noticed that is two words I've seen the most, though. Out of my word
and
bank.
Everybody ties them together. It's funny how that is. That was leading into my comment. He also used the caramel apples, and if we ever wondered if caramel apples were a regional snack, we now know that they're not. They're pretty worldwide because everybody, no matter where they've been from tonight, spoke of the caramel apples. Maybe not AP. I don't remember the caramel apple. Caramel, but not an apple. But anyway, it's just the little things. But his closing stanza there, the evening. That evening, the cloudy mist arose from the chimney pot as Mother leans over the stove, spice and orange compote, wrapping her frozen warriors in sheepskin quilt. And that is such a cute image, the frozen warriors, you know? I mean, it's just, it was, there were a lot of endearing aspects to it. And again, I love listening to him read them. So great job, Phil.
Awesome comment, Deb. Yeah, I even thought about that, too, about him. But I kind of figured that caramel apples was just like a thing, like all over the world.
But why? What makes it the caramel apple the one thing that we all have in common versus I don't know, not just the fact that we have them all in common, but because, like, say, for example, cupcakes brought one up. We all know what a cupcake is. It's got Jimmy sprinkled all over it, but do you call them sprinkles? Do you call them Jimmies? Do you call them the hundreds and thousands, which Phil does and AP does? So it's just,
yeah.
It's pretty cool to see that a caramel apple is just an apple dipped in caramel. I mean, it could have some clever name like Hush Puppies, even though that's already taken, but you know what I mean.
I mean, I'm wondering now if, like, and it could be in, like, a different country, they could not call it caramel apples. They might call it something else for all we know, but I could be wrong there, too. I mean, I know in there's some candies in different countries that have completely different names than we do here in the United States, but I don't know.
So
I think it was strange that Phil was writing about caramel apples.
Yeah. Well, like, you know me, I couldn't stand it, so I had to look. So it appears that a man named Don Walker invented caramel apples at work one day when he's working for Kraft Foods, and the very first caramel apple was created when he melted down some of the company's large stock of soft candy left over after Halloween and dropped apples into the mixture as a healthier and crunchier counterpart to the soft candy. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Huh.
So it was a way to use up excess candy.
Yeah,
and I bet you they make a fortune and
a healthier alternative.
You got paid the dollar an hour.
Is it healthier though?
Not sure it's really healthy.
Just dip the apple in a bunch of sugar.
Well, if you think about the fact that the caramel could have been incorporated with the chocolate, or it could have been wrapped around an apple, was probably where his thought was going. You know, it was crunchy, so you got the benefits of an apple a day.
Yes.
To keep the doctor away, but nobody said that the caramel would keep the dentist away. Ever.
The apple today keeps the doctor away, but I don't know about a caramel apple. I mean, could you imagine telling someone that, like, oh, did you have an apple that? Yeah, I did. And then you find out it's a caramel apple. I wonder how it got started, though, about putting, like, nuts and stuff in it. Like, it seemed like you just started it with caramel apples, and eventually people put nuts on them, too. I wonder how that all started.
I prefer without, but, yeah, a lot of places
put
the nuts on the apples.
And you're still being the only other nut I know for this is toffee apple. They're called toffee apples in Britain.
Oh, I wonder if there's toffee. Oh. Wow. Ah, oh, okay, it is the same. I'm looking too now that you said that. Aha. They do call, and Commonwealth English.
Yes, England.
I thought that's where
a little bit in Australia.
Phil was.
A little bit in Australia. Yeah, we can call them, we will often call them toffee apples.
Yeah.
Multiple language. Yeah.
I kind of like that better, actually. I don't know why.
Toffee apples?
We have candied so many things. But toffee apple makes me hungry for a Heath bar, just saying.
There you go.
It is weird, though, that it is different. Like, I was wondering if it was different than it is. Oh, cool. Okay. I have just, like, a few more, and we'll get through them how we get through them. We get done early, we get done early. We get done on time, we get done on time. I ain't no hurry.
Fine.
So I have Pretty Birds on getting on the board now. Deb, do you mind reading for Pretty Bird?
I would love to read for PB. I'll be there. Here I am. Okay. Well, this is called Barren Truth by Pretty Bird. The crimson bark of your words have woven branches across the eyes that once beheld you as noble. As yours wandered through cherry lipstick smiles that left briny rivers to rust hope that once flamed orange, now ashen. Wrap me in golden hues of thunderstorm eyes that maybe won't leave mine cloudy in the wake of the crimson bark of your words. That's all.
And I remember not so long ago, Pretty Bird would just write these long poems. And then slowly I have just shortened and she's writing more brevity, which I can say that I've kind of done the same. I just get in the mood, I guess, where sometimes I want to write more brevity and then sometimes write longer. But either way I go, I always enjoy Pretty Bird's writing. But I love that as yours wandered through cherry lipstick smiles. I love that. And then as it and then the left of the briny rivers to rust hope. So you just took my word, but then you're turning it into something else. But yeah, I love that to rust hope. So kind of it's almost like a transition of this person's face, almost like the cherry lipstick smile is just there no more, and then suddenly there's no hope in the eyes anymore, almost like your eyes are like a river and suddenly they've just turned to this gray where nothing's sun shining anymore. It's like all the guy when she's putting here on the thunderstorm eyes, that's just what I'm picturing in my head, is just these dark gray eyes that no longer have hope in them anymore. But yeah, I think that this is just beautiful, but I can't get over that cherry lipstick smile. See, that's what you were talking about, Deb, about earlier, about writing a line that you wish that you had written. I think I'm having that moment.
There you go.
I really like what Pretty Bird wrote, though. It's beautiful, beautiful brevity, and has some really deep meaning and sadness to it as well. Yeah. You read it, Deb? You may comment.
Yeah. For starters, it was an honor to read for you, Pretty Bird. And to take... she's only got 60 words, 61 words here, and she had to use 10 of yours. So, what an incredible use of the word bank. And she drove the feeling in. You mentioned the cherry lipstick smiles, but they left the briny rivers of rust hope that once flamed orange, now ashen, burned out, gone, it's ash, crumbled. You did that. You left it that way, you know? And then at the end, that maybe won't leave mine cloudy in the wake of the crimson bark of your words. And just that thought right there, that rage that's marked by the crimson and the bark that's by the screaming, if you want to call it a conversation. Barren Truth, yeah. Hell of a title to go with it, all the way around. I think that she absolutely stunned with the word bank.
Amazing comment, Deb. Thank you. AP, you make a comment?
Yeah, look, it's really interesting because what Pretty Bird does is she turns words upon themselves, and you know, that once beheld you as noble is such a sort of an acerbic comment, the cutting, acidic comment. And it sets the tone for the rest of the short write that ends back at the crimson bark of the words. And there's a consistency of this really, really deep sort of seated anger that comes through, and it's very, very well written.
Amazing comment, and I'm not even going to ask Wayne because I know he's been kidnapped, so it still says he's on here, but I'm guessing he's, I hope he eventually realizes that his phone, like when we all hang up, that his phone's on. No, I'm kidding.
I hope he's not paying for it, Crystal. Because the phone's not sort of sitting there. And his phone plan sort of dialing down as we sort of are talking to him.
Oh, yeah. Like, about a minute. That would stink.
Well, thank you to Pretty Bird for bringing that. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad that you guys enjoyed the word bank and stuff. And I'm glad to see like some different rites as well. Like I wanted to bring the autumn theme in there, but at the same time, I love it when I see different rites and everything. And I feel like Pretty Bird brought that. I have two left, and then I may read one of mine if I can find a poem that, because I was a bad host. I didn't sit down and write a poem for this. I should have, but I didn't.
I never write for Monday. It's rarely time for me to read.
I know. I don't have time for it. I may just, like, find one of mine or something to read as autumn-themed. If I can. I'm looking at some of mine that seem like they have most of my word bank in them, because a lot of the words that I did put in the word bank I do use, like crimson or pumpkin. I've used cinnamon a little bit, but I don't know if I've used that one that much. But yeah. But I have one from, let's see, which ones do I have left? I have Budos, and then I have, I hope I am saying this person's name right, Sass Burdon. I first read the name, and I thought it said bourbon. I didn't see the D. So I swear I'm not making fun of this person's name or username, I swear. But I'm going to go ahead and put theirs down because I have a SoundCloud. And all right. SoundCloud. Right here. Okay.
Autumn. As I wander beside the river today, I marvel at the colors on display. The tree-lined path I amble along crunches underfoot, creating a song. I watch a red leaf fall delicately, a patch nature's woven intricately to a quilt of crimson, orange and gold, a beautiful tapestry for my eyes to behold. Tree bark I see is cinnamon dusted, a fallen branch seems to have rusted, the sudden crispy air and cloudy skies is all signaling the season nature dies. End poem.
Well, that's beautiful. I like that she brought in about the tree-lined path that bringing about like the crunching and stuff like that, like creating the songs. So I'm just imagining just like the crunching of leaves being like autumn song almost, and I like that line. I'm interested that the nutmeg wasn't used, but the cinnamon was. That the bark I see is cinnamon dusted. I like how that is, like cinnamon. Like I'm imagining this tree and just like that cinnamon color, and you're just seeing like, but then you're seeing a few bit of the branches and things that just have a little bit of rust through them, like a rustier brown or so. I don't know. I really like that she brought these different colors of, like, because I see, like, the crimson, orange, and gold, But then also she just brings up all those different colored browns, and I don't know why. I really enjoyed that. Yeah, a beautiful tapestry for my eyes to behold. It is, too, seeing all those beautiful colors. Like, because I've done it several times where, because I don't really see fall anymore. When I was younger, I did, because I lived up north. But here in the south, you don't get a fall. You don't get one. It literally just transitions to the leaves turn green to brown. You don't really get a red or an orange or yellow in that much. It just turns to brown. So I love looking at pictures of autumn and things, and it is just like this beautiful thing for your eyes to see all the beautiful colors. But yeah, I enjoyed this, and thank you for bringing it. And let me get some comments. Deb.
Yeah. This poet is also fairly new to sharing with us. She's shared a handful, and I've really enjoyed listening to her read. I think that this brevity is really pretty. I watched a red leaf fall delicately, a patch nature's woven intricately. But that's not the one I was trying to find. The crunch. Well, anyway, it doesn't have to be a specific line. I like the fact that there are, like, the crunches underfoot the crunches underfoot that bring in the sound effects to add to the visuals. But I really like that you started touching on it to a quilt of crimson, orange, and gold, a beautiful tapestry for my eyes to behold. The tapestry, I love how it's used in the quilt. And then towards the end, with the crispy air and the cloudy skies, you can almost smell the crispness of the fall air, signaling the season and nature dies. I thought it was a clever brevity, but more so because we got to hear her read for herself. Great share.
Yeah. I was another thing I was recognizing, too, about her being new, because like I said, I didn't know how to say her user name. But, yeah. I am glad. I love seeing that, too, especially in my shows. I've seen newer people, and I always think that's interesting. I'm glad that whatever topic that I'm doing, that they're inspired by it and that they want to write for the shows and stuff. I love seeing that. But, yeah.
Great.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's thrilling to see the new people jump in and how excited they are to share and how good they are at writing.
And AP, would you comment and then read for Buddha?
Sure, of course. I'm just going to – I took a little image from Turner up of northern France of autumn. And just because the light and the colours are nowhere near as stark as Australia or the United States in Britain, there's a colour, but it's mixed with mist and it's mixed with darkness. And so winter is browner and sort of more somber. And that's why, you know, when you get a single coloured leaf that's red, it really stands out as compared to being here or in the US. And it comes down to the light, it comes down to the mist, it comes down to how far North Britain is. But just a very different sense of colour and I think, you know, the author and the writers picked that up really well in their piece.
Comment. And I do like that picture on the board, too.
Huh. That's another Turner. So I'm in a Turner frame of mind, so that's, there you go. So did you want me to read Bordeaux's piece, Crystal?
Yeah. Good for Bordeaux.
Okie doke. Well, I will do that. But that is the harvest, and it goes a little bit like this. Instill the orange scent of fall, flowering golden glow of treetop leaves, of sweet crimson and neon, embraced by willowed branches' arms. bared naked by grey whirlwinds under a cloudy blanket of quilted thunderstorms. She sings a dirge of weeping as Flora intends to sleeping, her robin trills to keeping as wintry boughs the deepening. A gentle reverent sigh it seems to whisper to all who listen nigh a most spectacular of ritual callings. Eyes wide shut in clustered grove of rusted nutmeg spices, a potpourri of blendings bring to rest a season's dreams till spring. End poem.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how he wrote this 23 days ago, and yet it had a lot of my words in it. The crimson, the golden, the leaves, the nutmeg, all of it. Like, it really, I don't know if he, like, put those words in there to fit, but it doesn't seem like it. It seems like everything just worked together perfectly. But I do actually like that, the part about the rusted nutmeg spices. I liked how that sounded. Or the gray whirlwinds of under a cloudy blanket of quilted thunderstorms. So it's like he's got it where we have like that harvest of fall, but at the same time you have like the bit of thunderstorms and the bit of gray skies, but yet you can still see those beautiful like tints of colors and things like that. But yeah, I'd like transition that he brings, and then talking about like the changes that happen going into winter and then into spring. It's a really beautiful job. I do love Budo's writing, especially his wording normally. And AP read it. Can you make a comment?
Yep. Yeah. Well, I look, it was an interesting sort of poem because it was lovely to read, by the way. It really there's some poems that just flow down the page, and this one did. But it's got some beautiful descriptions, and it fits with the image beautifully that he's put there. But I'm of course drawn to the monorhyme stanza 3, where I sort of felt he got into a wonderful sense of what was happening in the piece, and that to me that was the highlight, was the third stanza.
Awesome comment. And Deb, your comment?
I think I was hit the same way this time that after hearing it the first time. There's something about the beginning and still the orange scent of fall flowering golden glow on treetop leaves. I just absolutely love the visuals from the get-go, and I know he pulled the orange from the, you know, from my photo prompt, but there's just something, I don't know why, that the orange scent of fall, because usually they put it with cinnamon or nutmeg or even apples or pumpkins, but for it to be orange, it tickles me. I don't know why. But she sings a dirge of weeping as Farah impends to sleeping. Her robin trills to keeping as wintry boughs. There was a sadness. The impending impends to sleeping didn't quite hit me as a sleep that you would wake up from for some reason. So the reverent sigh, it seems, to whisper to all who listen nigh. And ritual callings, spectacular callings. So I think that this is an awesome brevity, and that... Oh, and AP, you did a beautiful read. It something in the tone in your voice gave it even a different feel than the first time that I heard the poem. So that's cool, too. Great share, bud.
Thanks, Ned.
awesome comment, Deb. And thank you, Budo, for bringing that. And that is the last poem of the poems that were on the board. I grabbed a random one of mine, whether it has a lot of the word bank in it, I don't know. But it has the word autumn in it, so it can't.
It's fine, it's your show. You can do whatever you want. Just saying.
I know. But I'll go ahead and I'll read mine and I guess give some comments, and then we'll do the announcements and head on our merry little way. All right. This is called, I didn't even know this poem was there, but wow. This one is called Autumn's Enjoyment. And then here we go. She climbed gently over the branch as she rolled up her jeans and dipped her feet in the cool water. As she watched all of nature's scenes, she was enthused by the colors of every reddish golden leaf and everything so vivid mirrored on the wavy water beneath. She retrieved her book she had next to her yellow sweater. She enjoyed every chapter as she enjoyed the weather. And poem.
There's an awesome property, Crystal. You, I think in the last month have been writing a lot of property. So to realize that this one is 3 years old, I was surprised. And as she climbed gently over the branch and she rolled up her jeans and dipped her feet in the cool water, and you could almost feel the from it. Some days there's nothing quite like just sitting there and just jiggling your toes and then sitting on the side. There was like a laid-back, easy feeling there. Since there's not a lot of lines, I'll just go directly towards the end. She read her book she had next to her yellow sweater and enjoyed each chapter as she enjoyed the weather. And I could almost see you there because, like, I know you'd love to read. And I could see you just chilling with your feet maybe jiggling with the, you know, water, your toes in the water, and just inhaling the crisp air and your story and perfectly content. Probably lose yourself until the mosquitoes start biting you because it's almost twilight. It's an awesome brevity. AP, what do you think?
Yeah, it's got a really nice feel of a person being with one in nature and enjoying that experience of simply just being there and not needing anything else to feel content. Just having the leaves and the water and the book, and that's more than enough.
Absolutely. So back to you, Miss Crystal, because I don't think that the kidnappers gave Wayne back.
No.
Well, thank you, AP, and thank you, Deb, for the comments. And, yeah. I was going to say we'll do the announcement. I see Sweet Show for tomorrow. It is Stephen King quotes. Oh, I know who's going to be all over that show. Okay. but yeah, did some quotes from Stephen King to write on. And I'm trying to see when the show was. I'm going to go roll on down.
Well, part of the problem is that we don't put up a normal topic board for Friday because it's Tic-Tac-Toe night. AP might want to tell you a little about that.
Okay, that's the time. So tomorrow...
Well, I can certainly do that. Yes, I can certainly do Friday, Deb, because it is, of course, the lovely sweet and dour, and we are doing monsters. So bring your Frankensteins, bring your, you know, your monsters. That's what we're looking for, monsters.
I thought we said Tic-Tac-Toe.
I thought tomorrow was
Friday.
I thought Friday was Tic-Tac-Toe.
Yeah,
is it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
The next sweet and dower is November 8th, I thought. You guys can decide what you would like to do, but I know that Lady A and Wayne have been talking trash on each other all week long.
I better do some writing then, if that's the case.
Tell me the answers.
No. Let me get into it this afternoon, Deb. So it will be a quick Mac Poe, if I can get it done.
So Lady A shouldn't have a chance because she gave me all the answers.
Deb dropped.
Well. There are no answers at the minute because there's no poems written, Wayne, so it's going to take some... That's what I said, it's going to be quick MacPo, not tick MacPo.
Well, you got, what, one night? 2 nights? One night to
I
do
got
it.
A night. You know. No, I've got a night. Okay. It could be worse.
Okay, Thursday.
Could have worked it out. Yes, I could have worked it out tomorrow.
Yeah, do it tomorrow. You have to take off work to do tick mo.
No, so anyway, there you go. So it will be tick MacPo, we think. Quick MacPo. Yes. There you go. Thanks, Crystal. Can I ask now?
Okay, so we got TikTok-po.
I'm sorry, I don't know when my phone hung up on me, but AP, you don't have to rush that. We can figure something out.
No, it's okay. I'll see how I go, Deb. I've got an afternoon and not much on. So I've got a free day. So there are sillier things to do than do a tick MacPo episode.
I guess.
This is true. All right, well, have at it, see how it goes.
Yeah. I will email you in your morning to let you know how it's gone.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't know when my phone shut down on me, but what I was saying was you had a little bit on your mind at the time and over the last couple of weeks, so it's totally understandable that...
No, I just completely lost it. Anyway, that's okay. Anyway, we'll work it out. Yeah, we'll work it out. I've got heaps of time. We'll work it out.
I have to.
Right. And it better be good, because otherwise, you know, we've got Wayne and we've got Lady A, the two major sort of combatants of Tic Tac Toe, so it better be decent.
She needs to win one.
I was going to say, did you notice that once we threw out Tic Tac Toe, those kidnappers sent Wayne back?
I saw that. I mean, they probably were just waiting to hear those words. It must have been like, you know, open the door or something, open sesame or something.
Right.
Otherwise, I've completely forgotten about it. You would have called me up and said, we're ready to go with Tic Mac Poe, and I would have said, oh, shucks, gosh. So anyway, let's pick up that.
I'm glad that we had it mixed up now and not on show day.
No,
I thought Sweet and Dour was a once-a-month thing, and the next time I have it written down is November 5th, so that's why I was like, wait a minute, I'm really confused.
I'm confused now, too. But that's okay. I don't mind. Yeah. We've organized something for a month in advance. That's good.
That works, because, like I said, I have it written down for the 5th, but I'm flexible, so whatever we decide. And I'm going to set up a network for another.
You haven't seen this. Anyway, no theme particularly close. But I'm working on it now. Believe me.
Awesome. Sorry, Crystal.
No, you are 100% good. I was just thinking, I was like, oh, thank goodness that they are saying this now. And it's not going to be like the day of Tic Tac Toe where you be sending a message like, oh, we ready for the game? And you're like, wait, what are you talking about?
Oh, absolutely. I'm thrilled that you pulled that up and had to say that because, like, I have no doubt that he'll find a way to pull it off. It's just that it sounds like it would have been quite as easy if I had said to him, well, it's confirmed Lady A and Wayne are the contestants tonight, and he's like, wait, what are you, tonight? So at least you have some time.
I do. So I will use it, believe me.
Awesome. And in the meantime, we will see everyone tomorrow at 11 p.m. at Sweet Show.
I'll be there.
Get those Stephen King rights happening. And Crystal Hope. What a great show. Awesome poem. And it was so great to see these people.
I'm sorry, I had to leave it.
It was even more great to spend some time with you because you barely get to see them anymore. Being kidnapped.
Do you say you're the teacher, Crystal? You had a bunch of kids? Did you say you're the teacher?
Yes.
You said
preschool.
What grade do you teach?
Preschool.
Preschool? That's why I got a bunch of kids around here that I'm trying to teach. It's impossible to do, but they're older than that. They're like 14 years old now, and they're all too old, and they need to go away. They need to take over to get something to eat while ago.
Probably don't act as well as the kids do.
No, I guarantee they don't. These 14-year-olds are out of control.
Well, I'm wondering off to write some poems. Bye, everybody.
Bye, AP.
Talk soon.
See ya.
Thank you, AP. Thanks.
Well, AP, I know what he'll be doing for the next quite a few hours. I'm so glad that happened. Anyway, I enjoyed the show very much, Crystal, and I am going to be speaking. So you're going to do now is say bye. And again, it's awesome.
Good night,
to
ladies.
Out with you. I miss you. Night, Wayne. Love and respect.
Good night, Beb. Good night, everybody. Thank you for listening.